Today on Blue 58, the Packers had a big body on their offensive line, selecting Arizona offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. Let's break it down. Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I'm your host, John Meerdink, and I am happy to be with you here for another episode. Jordan Morgan, huh? We'll talk about him in a second, but quite a night in Detroit as we watch the first round of the 2024 NFL draft play out. A lot to like in this draft. Good storylines. Seemed like everybody in Detroit was having a lot of fun. Roger Goodell's open collar, pretty aggressive. My wife even agreed on that as she assessed some of the choices folks made with their suits and general appearance throughout the night. Great-looking group for everybody who was walking across the stage tonight. I thought fashion's more conservative than in Las Vegas. Malik Nabers looked good. Double-breasted suit, not for everybody, but he pulled it off. J.C. Latham's suit almost looked like it had a wood grain on it in the pattern on the fabric. The stories about the quarterbacks going early and often, it all looked like it was shaping up really well for the Packers, and I guess that trend really continued throughout all of the first round. Pick 8 is where things started to get a little bit weird. The Falcons picked Michael Penix. The Bears kind of going as expected with Romo Odunze. And then the Vikings trading up to get J.J. McCarthy. You've got your 5 quarterbacks in the top 10, making it 6 later on with Bo Nix, not inside the top 10, but just outside it. 2 offensive linemen to that point. So far, so good. You get to 14 players in, and there's no defensive players off the board. Then Laiatu Latu goes. He's not the one I would have guessed. Would have thought Byron Murphy or one of the higher-end defensive backs would go and break the streak there. But a strange draft in a lot of ways. And then around that time, stuff really starts to get interesting for the Packers. 18th, Amarius Mims goes to the Bengals. Big offensive lineman off the board. That's somebody that we could have seen the Packers trading up for maybe if he got to 20. Maybe not so much with who the Steelers ended up getting at 20. After Jared Verse goes to the Rams at 19, doesn't really affect the Packers there. Troy Fatanu goes to Pittsburgh. Another one comes off the board for the Packers. Then Chop Robinson to Miami, again, doesn't really affect the Packers so much. But Quinyon Mitchell to Philadelphia does. Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Jaguars, I thought very good for the Packers. Then the Lions jump up and grab Alabama defensive back Terrion Arnold. I wonder if they thought the Packers would take him there at 25. We'll never know because the Packers end up staying put at 25 and selecting Jordan Morgan. When the Packers made their pick, the board was chock full of guys that have been reliably mocked to the Packers. Cooper DeJean, first and foremost, but also Graham Barton, who went a pick later to the Buccaneers, Tyler Guyton there, Kool-Aid McKinstry there as well. But instead, it's Jordan Morgan, an offensive tackle to Arizona. And as with most years, it's a guy that we don't necessarily expect, even if you can see it kind of make sense if you sit and think about it for a second. But after months and months and months of seeing, you know, Cooper DeJean, Graham Barton, Cooper DeJean again, it is a little bit of a shock to the system just to see a name that you don't necessarily really spend that much time thinking about heading into the draft. And I don't think we actually mentioned Morgan's name at all in the pre-draft process, partly because he sat out of a couple of the metrics that really tie guys to the Packers. Did not run the agility stuff at the combine due to an injury, a hamstring injury. Then did not do the agility stuff at his pro day due to just a personal choice. And that leaves us in an awkward position because then there's no short shuttle and no three-cone drill. And as we know,
It's about the cones.
Tongue in cheek. He still hits a lot of the stuff that the Packers look for in their offensive linemen. So let's talk about it. Height, weight details on Morgan. 6'11", 311 pounds. Or 6'5", excuse me, not 311 pounds. Gave him half a foot there. No big deal. Played bigger, played heavier at Arizona, up around 325. Seems like a genuinely big-bodied guy, which is something the Packers, I think, have lacked at guard the past couple of seasons, and I would argue currently lack at tackle with Zach Tom. We'll talk about fit throughout the process here. Broad stroke stuff, though, Morgan played left tackle essentially exclusively at Arizona. A couple cameo snaps when they were doing weird formations and stuff like that elsewhere, but probably above 99% of the snaps when he was on the field, he was at left tackle. He chose to play at Arizona because he is from the state originally, and he wanted to save his parents the trouble of flying and worrying about him. He was quoted as saying, when he was away, potentially further away, did have an offer at least from USC among other schools, and he seriously considered the USC offer because why wouldn't you, being a young high school-aged man, thinking about where you want to spend the next few years of your life, a place like USC does seem fairly attractive. I could understand that. Good athlete overall, 924 relative athletic score, no agility drills again, but does hit an important threshold. His 10-yard split in the 40-yard dash, 1.69 seconds, very, very solid number, under the 1.8 number the Packers usually look for in their offensive linemen. And crucially, among offensive linemen in the top 250, the fourth best time that we have on record. Graham Barton, Tanner Bartolini, and Frank Crum all posted a 1.68 split. Morgan is next, tied with Tylan Grable out of UCF with 1.69. Those are the only five players to record a sub 1.7 time in their 10-yard split. I guess Troy Fatanu did record a 1.7 on the dot, but if you want to see, got to get to that 1.6 range. Morgan is one of only five guys to do it in our top 250 sample that we've used throughout our pre-draft process here. Morgan was number 29 on Dane Brugler's big board and his number two guard, if that matters to you. He was number 37 on Pro Football Focus's big board, which it makes him a slight to moderate reach, if you want to call it that. And I guess technically it is, so it doesn't really come down to what you want to call it. If you look at those boards, those rankings, technically it is a reach. But 29 to 25 doesn't bother me all that much. And Pro Football Focus's rankings are kind of all over the place, so not too much to really worry about there. So Morgan, the prospect. The good stuff, I think, shows up in the program, for starters. The size and the athleticism. The athleticism, I think, is there generally. He fits the broad strokes of the profile, does the athleticism stuff that you'd expect, even if he didn't do the agility drills. Size-wise, I think he's big enough to play tackle. 6'5" isn't super-duper tall, but fairly long arms at 33 inches. And, again, played heavier at Arizona, listed at 325 pounds, though much lighter at the combine down to 311. I think, in theory, he does give you flexibility at multiple positions. In theory. There is a flip side to that. We'll talk about that here in a second. But he should have the ability and I think at least the body type to play a bunch of different spots. I guess size-wise, you could see him at every spot of the offensive line. Though I don't think the Packers are really thinking about him as a center. Brian Gutekunst in his post-draft press conference did mention that they seem to be looking at him at a tackle, but they like his versatility. One of the things that comes up consistently when you talk about Morgan's positive aspects is his character. Brian Gutekunst mentioned it. It comes up in Dane Brugler's Beast. This quote I thought was especially interesting via Brugler. Arizona offensive coordinator Brennan Carroll said, quote, fantastic role model. He's a beacon in the weight room. The guys follow him and get behind him, end quote. The bad stuff mainly has to do with injury. He missed five games in college due to injury, but there's a big asterisk on that. The five games only accounts for two that he missed at the end of 2022 with a torn ACL. Came back for 2023, having missed all of spring ball and most of training camp, but played, I think, all the games for Arizona his final season there. Did not miss a step, really, with that ACL injury. And really, the five games may not be that big of a deal, but he battled injuries a lot through his NFL or through his college career, but battled them well. The Arizona Republic or Arizona Daily Star, they've got some overlap, wrote this heading into the 2022 season about his 2021 injury. Quote, Arizona left tackle Jordan Morgan suffered a high ankle sprain during training camp last year. How long did that injury linger? It lingered till a month or two after the season, Morgan said. Wait, after the season? Bear in mind, Morgan played almost the entire campaign, bulky ankle and all. He missed only one game, the season opener versus BYU, and played 706 of a possible 916 offensive snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. Morgan had a variety of other injuries, too, and no one would have blamed him had he taken a week or two off to get his body right. But Morgan never seriously considered that option. He had duties to fulfill. He had quarterbacks to protect. And now Morgan talks again. I never wanted to take weeks off or days off. I didn't want to fall behind. We were already behind last year, so falling behind would have been big trouble, end quote. Does that talk about him being injury prone, maybe? Does that talk about him being extra tough? I think you can take it whatever way you want, but I think that is another character point in his favor. He could have just taken the time off to get his body right. He could have put himself first in that situation, but he chose not to. He chose to be there for his teammates when they needed him and get out on the field and do what he could, injured though he may have been at that point in his college career. Again, I think that probably speaks pretty well of his character, regardless of what it says about his overall, I guess, his literal body of work when it comes to injuries and stuff like that. Further on his weaknesses, play strength does come up in just about every one of his scouting reports. He is a big guy. He doesn't necessarily always play like a strong guy. Is he strong or not? We'll find out. He did 27 reps on the bench at the combine, which is not inconsiderable. But play strength does come up again and again. And he might not have a position in Green Bay right away. We'll talk about that in a second, but this is the flip side of the positional versatility thing. Sometimes you just end up at a spot because you're the best option that a team has, or that you're sufficient for that level. But when you get to the next level, if you're a little bit of a size tweener, like maybe Morgan is, it can be tough to have a position right away. So let's talk through that. The Packers seem to think he can play just about anywhere. Morgan seems to think that he could play just about everywhere. Where do you put him? Left to right, let's go down the offensive line. Left tackle, he would be in competition with Rashid Walker. That is probably on the table. It's something that we've assumed would be on the table for whoever the Packers ended up drafting. If they drafted a tackle prospect, Walker is going to have to earn his job back. And if the Packers want to keep Zach Tom on the outside, the other competition there is with Walker. And I think Morgan versus Walker would be an interesting competition. We'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. Left guard, I think we can probably rule that one out, unless the Packers want to make some extreme adjustments to their offensive line, say moving Elgton Jenkins outside again or sliding him over to center. Then that could open up something at left guard potentially, but I think that one is set. Let's just leave Elgton Jenkins there. He was solid there last year. Let's not move that position around if we don't have to. Center seems like it's an open competition at this point for someone, but I don't think that someone is Jordan Morgan. I don't think they're taking him to try to compete with Josh Myers. If they want competition with Myers, for Myers, it's going to come from somewhere else, either Zach Tom or somebody the Packers select on day two or three. Right guard is where things start to get interesting. Sean Ryan is the theoretical incumbent there. I would say he has a tenuous grasp on that job in the best of circumstances. Even allowing for the fact that he shared time there with John Runyon down the stretch last year, even allowing for the fact that he's now a third-year, third-round pick, I don't think anything is going to be handed to Sean Ryan. So to the extent that he is the Packers' starting right guard right now, he is there in name only. Let's put it that way. And then right tackle is where it gets extra interesting. A lot of this is out of Morgan's control, but if Zach Tom is headed inside, I think you slot Jordan Morgan in at right tackle and say, figure it out. You haven't played left tackle before, at least certainly not since high school, and I didn't find any evidence that he was there in high school. He may have been. But if you need him at right tackle, you say, look, you were left tackle in college. We need you at right tackle. Figure it out. That's what he's going to have to do, and it looks like that could be one of the more open positions to start. If Zach Tom is on the move to somewhere else, that basically hands the job, I think, to Morgan. If not, they'll have to work to find him some work elsewhere, either at left tackle or right guard, if Tom doesn't end up moving. Overall, I think I like the pick. It's a little bit of a surprise. It's a little bit stunning to see a name that you haven't really talked a lot about come off the board when there are guys that you have, you know, spent time with and kind of grown accustomed to the idea of the Packers drafting, going, or staying on the board when the Packers pick somebody else. But I like that you can see clear thinking here. You can see a clear path for him to get get reps, even if it does involve either winning a competition or the Packers sidelining a previous relatively high draft pick and a guy like Sean Ryan. You can see the role there for Morgan, even if he doesn't have a defined position right now, even if he doesn't have a clear defined, this is what he's going to be on day one sort of thing. You can see opportunities for him to get involved here fairly early. And that's a good spot to be in as a rookie offensive lineman. Getting involved is a lot different, or having to get involved, put it that way, is a lot different than needing to be involved from day one. It's one thing to get drafted because your team only has three viable starting offensive linemen, and they just need you to be one of those five. And if you're not their solution at left tackle as a rookie, they're going to be in a world of hurt heading into next year's draft, because now they still have three bad spots on their offensive line, and one of them is the rookie that they spend a first-round pick on. Morgan is not going to be in that position from day one. We can say that almost for sure. The Packers don't need him to be the answer at left tackle because they have Rashid Walker, who can at least be an option there. They don't need him to be a left guard because Elgton Jenkins is their left guard. They don't need him to be a center because they're probably going to get competition for Josh Myers elsewhere. He could be their right guard, but they have at least one other option there. And depending what you think of Royce Newman, hopefully not very much by this point, they could have other options there too. And he wouldn't need to be their right tackle, but if the Packers move Zach Tom somewhere else because they think that he can bolster another spot on their offensive line, he can at least just be an option there, not the only possible solution for their right tackle situation. So I think a lot to like about the situation Jordan Morgan finds himself in, and a lot to like about what the Packers did with this selection and can offer themselves through adding some depth on the offensive line. I think it fits pretty well with what we hope for in the first round of the draft here. The value there seemed to be on tackle, at tackle. There wasn't an insane run on tackles like we feared there may be, so the Packers didn't have to move up. And they got a tackle they like that fits with some of their needs up front, can potentially play a couple of different spots, and checks at least a couple of the boxes athleticism-wise, that they generally look for. Even if he didn't do the agility drills, he still has a good overall athletic profile. There's a lot to like here. It makes a lot of sense, and I think Morgan is in a good spot heading into his rookie season. So let me throw a few fun facts your way. He was just 5'10" and 180 pounds as a high school freshman and played quarterback and tight end. A big growth spurt in a couple of different ways. And 2 years later, he's big enough to be his team's starting left tackle, earned All-State honors, and the rest, as they say, I guess, is history. He's a weight room warrior in high school, again, according to the Arizona Republic. Quote, "It's not just Morgan's stature that's imposing, but what he can do athletically. In the weight room, Morgan is power cleaning more than 300 pounds, bench pressing more than 300 pounds, and squatting more than 500 pounds, according to Ramirez, his football coach in high school." End quote. And that was heading into his junior year when they were previewing stuff for Arizona high school football at that point. That growth spurt did quite a bit for him, I think, in high school. It's going to make him a fairly wealthy man here in the near future, too, potentially with the option to become a very, very wealthy man a few years down the line if he turns out to be a solid first-round pick here for the Packers on the offensive line. Tough kid, like we said already, once had a tooth pulled and then practiced the same day as a freshman. The pain did not bother him. Man after my own heart in terms of what he did fitness-wise to try to get his playing weight up, gained weight by, let's say, eating selectively. Quote, "Morgan appeared in 6 games for the Wildcats as a freshman in 2019, making starts at left tackle against Oregon and Arizona State. When Morgan committed to Arizona, he weighed 270 pounds, but has spent the last year packing on good weight. His weight gain routine has consisted of eating fruits, chicken, or steak bowls from Chipotle, and the occasional Caniac combo, no coleslaw, extra toast from Raising Cane's," end quote. Solid choices in there. I do enjoy a steak bowl from Chipotle, and Raising Cane's is pretty solid no matter what you get. I could take or leave the extra toast. I'm not there for toast. I'm there for chicken. Let's focus on the chicken when we're at Raising Cane's. The sides are are not necessarily optimal in that situation anyway. Let's just focus on the chicken fingers. Let's do that instead. But it seems to have worked for him. Gain upwards or close to 60 pounds over his time at Arizona. And if those combos helped him, shoot, we got one down the street from my house. He can come over. We'll get one together, and he can talk me through the finer points of why that's a good way to go. Now, what comes next for the Packers? I think one of the interesting aspects of the first round is the run on offense. This is going to be something that gets talked about. It's going to be the main storyline, I think, coming out of this year's draft, is just how offense crazy the first half of the first round was, and really the entire first round. That helped the Packers, even if there wasn't, you know, the premium tackles available, even if they went, the run on offense was structured in such a way that the Packers still had a chance to get a tackle at 25 without moving up. But also, going so offense heavy early on in the draft means there's still going to be a fairly good pool of defensive players available in the second and third rounds, particularly the second rounds, especially early in the second rounds. The Packers have four picks coming in the next two rounds. To refresh your memory, 41, 58, 88, and 91. If the Packers wanted to stand pat, there's going to be a lot of options available, especially at 41 and 58. If they wanted to move up, packaging 41 and 91 could get you up a couple slots. Packaging 50, 41, and 88 could get you up extra. Having the extra third-round pick there in the form of 91 really gives the Packers some flexibility to move around or just to continue to pile up the picks if they wanted to stay where they are on day two of the draft. In terms of what they should be targeting, I think on day two we're looking at more offensive line, a safety or just general defensive back, an edge rusher maybe just for positional value, and then a wide receiver just for the value that's available in this year's draft class. Again, we've kind of hammered this a lot the last few podcasts. There seem to be a lot of good receivers in this year's draft class. So if the value is just too good, you can see, I think, the Packers taking one on day two here. But edge rusher kind of in the same boat. It's just such a valuable position on defense that if there's somebody the Packers like, say Marshawn Nealand out of Western Michigan, maybe you take him with one of those second or third round picks there. And then, of course, offensive line, you're never going to go wrong adding more depth there. And then guys like, well, I guess Cooper DeJean is still out there, but Javon Bullard's still out there as well from Georgia. Give you some options at safety, and that really fits with what the Packers need. Let's focus on those things because the value on day three, I think, is going to be running back and linebacker. So focus primarily on offensive line, safety, maybe wide receiver, maybe edge rusher on day two here. Then hit running back and linebacker on day three, throw in another offensive lineman maybe as a flyer late, and then call it a weekend. I think the Packers are off to a really good start here. We'll see what happens on day two or three, and we'll be back with you on Sunday to chat about everything the Packers have done throughout this weekend and how it's going to shake out for your 2024 Green Bay Packers. In the meantime, that's all I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you'd take a second and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it. It's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved in this conversation you and I are having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.